So if you would, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14 again. And then I want you to hold your finger there in the book of Isaiah. And I want you to turn over to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And then I want you to turn over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 14. And these passages of Scripture kind of parallel with each other. It's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. The Word of God, of course, is a wonderful thing. Amen. Ezekiel chapter number 28, Isaiah chapter number 14. And I want to share some thoughts with you tonight from these passages of Scripture. Again, the Word of God is a wonderful thing. And I do appreciate the greatness of the Word of God, the seriousness of the Word of God. There is a time to laugh and there's a time to have fun, amen. I'm glad we can do that. But there's also a time to be serious. And this is a serious moment whenever you're dealing with future events and what's going to take place, what's happening, and understanding your Bible. A lot of folks don't understand their Bible. I was talking to a gentleman this past week, and he made the statement to me. He said, "You know what I need?" I said, "No, tell me what you need." He said, "I need a Bible for dummies." And I got tickled at him. I laughed. I thought that was kind of funny. And I said, "Why do you say that?" And he said, "I can read my Bible. It makes no sense." He said, "You know, when you get over in the book of Genesis and you read the begats, and this one begat that one and this one begat." He said, "I don't know what a begat is." And he said, "I don't understand." I said, "Why are you over there reading all that?" I said, "Get out of there." I said, "You don't need a Bible for dummies. You need a pastor to teach you." And I said, "You need to be in Sunday school." I said, "That's what Sunday school is all about." And I said, "If you want to learn something, come to Sunday school Sunday morning, Heritage Baptist Church at 9:30. And I said, "We'll teach you something." But his comment was he needed a Bible for dummies because he didn't understand the Bible. And a lot of things I would talk about during the course sometimes of our conversation, he didn't understand. And he'd tell me, he said, "That makes no sense to me." He said, "What are you talking about?" And to me, it's elementary. To me, it's things that I've known for years. I've studied that, and I know that. And to me, it's just commonplace. Not that I'm some genius or anything like that, by no means. But I know some of the future events and things that's going to take place. And I know what my Bible says, and I've studied my Bible. And so we also had the conversation about rock music. And I try to help him understand that that's of the devil. Amen? And let me just go on record and say this tonight. Anything that's not of God's of the devil. Amen? That's just all they are to it. There's either one or the other. You're either for God or you're against God. If you're against God, you're for the devil. Amen? That's good stuff right there. I know that upset a lot of folks, but that's just the way it is. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, we looked at this verse of Scripture already last time I preached on this. But I want to back up and go over this again. And I want to show you the comparison between Isaiah, chapter 14, and Ezekiel, chapter number 28, verse number 2. There's a lot of meat in these verses of Scripture, and I'll just try to share with you some. I don't know how far we'll get. There's several other passages of Scripture I want to look at. There's several things I want to show you from this according to Scripture that I believe it'll be a help to us tonight. And so you just sit there, hang on, hold on, follow along. Amen. And hopefully the Lord will help you understand what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. We'll start reading there. And the Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." In verse number 12 and 13, we're dealing there with one called Lucifer. We talked about him the last time I spoke and preached. So we talked about Lucifer. Lucifer is none other than, of course, Satan. And we understand tonight when we talk about Satan and Lucifer, Lucifer was an angel. I said that before, and I've tried to explain to you that he was an angel in heaven. He is a fallen angel. He had responsibilities. He had a duty in heaven. There with God the Father and the other angels. Whenever he was lifted up in pride, as we see here in chapter 14 of Isaiah, he was lifted up in pride and said that he would, verse number 13, he says, "I will ascend into the heavens and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." In other words, he was saying, I'll be above God. I'll be higher than God is. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. That was pride and arrogance, and I preached that the other week where the Bible teaches us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, that pride goeth before destruction, and he is going to be destroyed, amen. And we talked about on Sunday in the book of Hebrews where Jesus Christ destroyed the devil and his cause, amen, and took away the keys of death and hell, all right? But we must understand that the devil still is not bound yet. He's still loose on the earth, amen? And his whole agenda is to get everyone that he can to turn against God. God kicked him out of heaven because of his rebellion, because of his pride, his arrogance, and his selfishness. He kicked him out of heaven, and all the angels that followed him, known as the fallen angels, the minions, the demons of hell, don't you dare think for one minute those things are not real. Demons of hell are real. Amen. Satan is real. That's a real battle. That's real serious stuff. You don't mess with that. Amen. You stay away from those kinds of things. I don't encourage anybody to study those kinds of things because that's serious stuff. I mean, you've got to be real close to God and prayed up and in your Bibles. And I'm talking, it's serious, serious stuff. It's not to be messed with and to played with. The Ouija boards and things that they do at Halloween and all this wickedness, that's not to be played with. This is serious stuff. The devil is serious about the business he's in. Amen? And the demons of hell are serious about doing their work. All right? So let me show you now. Ezekiel chapter 28. Flip over there. And let me read to you some more here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. I want you to see what I'm telling you to be the truth of the Word of God. And then we'll share a few thoughts and we'll go to the house. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 1. The Word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten the riches and has gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die in the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man. But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Now hold on, stay with me. There's not been one king upon the earth that's ever been in the Garden of Eden. All right? Now he's saying in the verse of Scriptures, it says, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him. It's not so much a king that he's talking to, it's the one behind the king. It's the one that's forcing all that, the satanic force behind it. Watch what he says. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. There's the devil, there's Satan, that's where he was there. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, and sapphire, and emerald, and carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. There's the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes. He's in charge of music. You see that? Thou art, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up. Watch this. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Thanks be unto God. He's talking to Satan, and there will be a day when he's kicked off into the lake of fire. Amen. And he says, I'll bring thee to ashes. And everyone will see that upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold it. Verse 19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. That's shouting ground. Amen. And again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it. Saith, verse 22, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Zidon. I will be glorified in the midst of thee, that they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence and blood in her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. They shall know that I am the Lord. There shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them that despise them. And they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel, watch this, from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land, and I have given to my servant Jacob. They shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. They shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. They shall know that I am the Lord their God. Here, let me share a few thoughts with you from these passages of Scripture. We understand in reading this that we're learning from the Scripture who Lucifer was, who Satan was. He was a covering cherub angel there in heaven with the authority and the power that he had being there in heaven. But because of his beauty and because of his pride, the Bible says because of his beauty, he got eat up with pride. And he says, I'm going to exalt myself above God. And we understand that he failed. He was kicked out of heaven. God kicked him out of heaven. Then we understand, too, when we're dealing with Satan and dealing with those powers, when he's talking to these kings in this verses, on these verses of Scripture, it's not necessarily those kings that the Lord wants us to see. It's the ones behind those kings. It's the power of Satan that forces all this evil. It's the Antichrist that comes on the scene. Who's behind the Antichrist? It's none other than Satan. When he comes on the scene, listen, man, I got a hold of this today. I was listening to some preaching on the radio, and I thought this was, I know this, but sometimes we just don't think about it. We know it, and it makes sense to us, but we don't think about it until somebody says it. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Well, I was listening to a preacher on the radio, and he says that Satan does not know, he does not know, and neither does Christ know when God is going to send his Son, amen, to rapture the church. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. Even Christ himself doesn't. If Christ doesn't know, then Satan doesn't know. Satan does not know what God's going to do when he's going to do it. All right? So with that thought in mind, think about this. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene right after the church is raptured out. So from the beginning, I guess I would say from the beginning of the fall of man, Satan has been working in every generation to raise up an Antichrist, to have him ready, to have him ready to go on the scene. He's going to be rich. He's going to be wealthy. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that people who are wealthy are going to be the Antichrist. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But according to the Scripture, it's going to be one with riches. He's going to have power. He's going to be in a political place where people will listen to him. And there's been people in every generation that the devil, Satan himself, has been working and building up to have him ready for that position. Who is the Antichrist? I have no idea. I have a lot of names I could put there, but I truly do not know who the Antichrist is. What I do know is the Bible says he's coming on the scene the moment the church is raptured out. Amen. Praise be unto God, we won't be here. Amen. We won't have to worry about who the Antichrist is. I won't be here. But there is some things that's going to take place after the fact. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then there's going to be a return of the Lord to set his foot down on the Mount of Olives. We talked about that and dealt with that through the book of Isaiah. Talked about that in Zechariah in chapter 14, where his foot literally sets down on the earth, and it makes a valley where his foot sits down on the Mount of Olives. It actually literally departs the mountains, and there's a valley there when the Lord sits down. Whenever he comes back, he's coming back to set the record straight. Amen. He's coming to do away with, to the final destroy the devil and his minions and all the wickedness of the world. Now, I want to say this tonight. I want you to understand with me, anything that's not of God's of the devil. Amen. Anything that's not for God is against God. I don't care who they are or what they say from their lips. Either they're for God or they're against God. Amen? It has been like that since the fall of Satan. Satan was there. Lucifer was there in the Garden of Eden. He was there in heaven. And he lifted up in pride, wanted to be above God. So God kicks him out of heaven, creates a place called hell, the pits of the grave, as the Bible calls it, which is none other than hell. Created hell for the Lucifer, for Satan, and for his angels. That's what that was created for. Then God begins to work and create mankind, and creates woman and mankind. And listen, and the population of the world just continues to grow and to grow. And from the days of Eve in the Garden of Eden, when Satan went to deceive her, Satan has been on the war path against God, still trying to do all that he can to destroy the kingdom of God. So everything that we see that's against God in our leaders, our national leaders across the world, our leaders that are not for God, they're for Satan. They may not be actually going out and going to the satanic churches and worshiping Satan, but listen, they're wicked in their deeds. They're rich, they have money, they have need of nothing, and Satan is the force that is behind their leadership. All right? Y'all with me? I'm telling you, the Bible is amazing when you begin to look at this and see how all this unfolds and how God is going to deal with, hallelujah, he's going to deal with the Antichrist, he's going to deal with Satan and the false prophet, he's going to deal with all that. Now you think about this, with all that evil that's in the world today and all the battles that we have to face and fight right now. There's something that is restricting the full force of the devil. That's called the Holy Spirit of God. Once the church is raptured out, this is what I believe. You don't have to agree with this if you don't want to. This is McMillanology. What I believe, once the church is raptured out, then the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. The Bible doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth, because they will be saved folks during the tribulation period. So I do not believe the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth, but he's taken out of the way. And then the devil has rule and reign, a lot more power than what he has now. And the devil allows that. God allows the devil to do that. Why does God allow the devil to have such power? Why is it? Because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They had that opportunity and they rejected it. At the rapture of the church, then the tribulation begins, things begin to fall apart. Now, if you think about that, think about the power that people have at the moment the rapture of the church takes place and literally millions of people vanish off the face of the earth. I'm talking millions are going to vanish away. There's going to be somebody that's popular, that's known by the nations, and he's going to come on the scene and he's going to try to say, listen, I know what happened. And he's going to try to explain away the rapture. And he's going to have his reasonings. And listen, the force behind him is none other than Satan himself. and he's going to try to explain everything away and try to get people to follow him. And he's going to have such power that they will literally believe everything he says. The Bible teaches us that there will be in that day strong delusions. There'll be strong delusions. You think it's something now to try to witness to somebody? Boy, I'm telling you, in those days, that strong delusion, there'll be such power. People are so gullible. Man, they're gullible now. Amen. They'll follow anything. If they'll follow Joel Osteen, Lord help, they'll follow anything. Amen, right there. Amen. If they'll follow Joyce Meyer, they'll follow anything. Amen. They're gullible. And we sit back and we look at all these different types of religions and we think, well, man, how can somebody follow that? And how can they follow that? It's because of their riches. It's because of their eat up with pride and arrogance in themselves. And people listen to that. They think, well, hey, listen, being rich and being famous like that and having all that money, that means you're right with God. A lot of the different types of religions, a lot of the different evangelists, so-called evangelists on TV, the charismatic movements and all that, a lot of those are, listen, they're rich. And they teach people, they tell people, if you're rich, God doesn't want you to be poor. God doesn't want you to hurt. God doesn't want you to suffer. If you're right with God, you'll have what you need. You'll be rich in this world's goods. That's amazing how that works out. Because the devil was rich. With thy traffic or thy trade, that's what that word means, his trade, his trickery, and gaining what he could gain. This is a wicked nation we live in, and people will cheat and steal their way to the top to gain those riches. And they think just because I'm rich, I'm right with God. My Bible does not teach me that. Watch this now. I want to share this with you. This was just good stuff. I was in my study the other night, and I just couldn't put it down. I mean, it's just good stuff. What does the Bible say concerning riches? Well, I'm glad you asked me because I want to tell you. Those prosperity preachers that say that you are right with God if you're rich. Well, first of all, I want to go to the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to share with you what the book of Proverbs says. And I'm going to share some more scriptures. So just hold on. You'll understand why we didn't have singing about midnight tonight when I finally get calmed down. Oh my, I hear you. Proverbs chapter number 11, the Bible says in verse number 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. And in the days when God pours out His wrath upon this earth, it ain't going to make no difference how much money you got. Your riches are going to burn just like everything else. It's not going to matter. But righteousness delivereth from death. I'd rather be right with God, amen, and be saved and not be raptured out, amen, and be broke while I'm here than have all the riches of the world and have to face the tribulation. Amen. All right, let me give you something else. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. I may have to come back Sunday and tag this again and keep on with it. This is just good stuff. It's good stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name is better than riches. It's good for the pastor to stand behind the pulpit and have a good name, amen, than have riches. Amen. That's good stuff right there. I didn't get too many amens, but thank you for listening. Verse number 16, the Bible says, Proverbs 22, verse 16, the Bible says, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Hey, there's those that oppress the poor to try to, they cheat, they steal, they lie to increase in their riches. And the Bible says, there'll be a day, they'll come to want. They'll wish they had something. Psalms 37 and verse number 16, the Bible says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Well, that's good. I'm telling you, that's just good stuff. Now, let me give you some revelation now. Revelation chapter number 6. I mean, this might not have the same effect on everybody as it does me, but I know I'm not rich in this world's goods. And I don't struggle. Me and my wife is even talking about that this season. I don't want to be rich with this world's goods. I just want to be able to pay my bills. You know, I just want to have a house to live in, have a nice car, decent car to drive, you know, and it'd be all right if the Lord gave me a nice new pretty red four-door Dodge truck. I mean, I'd drive it, amen? But that ain't happened yet. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having money as long as money doesn't have us, amen? And so, listen, the Bible here teaches in Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And I beheld..." When he had opened the sixth seal, this is during the tribulation period, the sixth seal is opened, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, watch this now, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? Boy, they can talk about their fancy riches and all their wealth and all their well-doing. But the Bible says in that day, those rich, those mighty men, they're gonna run to the mountain and they're going to say and cry out to the mountains and to the rocks to fall on them. Hide them, try to hide themselves from the wrath of God. Those riches, as Proverbs says, is nothing in the day of wrath. It's not going to pay anything. It's not going to be worth anything. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture and we think about that, we think about those that the Bible says in those days when the seals are opened and those mighty men, they can say what they want to say. They can talk about us. I know there's individuals I've met and talked to along the way. They're so consumed with trying to have riches and have this world's goods. And I know there's a lot of people get upset with the preacher whenever he preaches on tithing and giving to the church. Listen, you'll never experience the blessings of God until you experience the giving to God. Amen. And whenever you start that, then you don't want to stop that because God blesses those that takes care of his house. I'd rather take everything I've got and put it in the hands of God, amen, than try to work for this world's goods and end up with nothing when it's all said and done. Amen? Now, the Bible teaches us here that riches don't have any value. They have no meaning in the day of wrath. I'd rather serve God and be broke and poor than try to serve the devil and live in this world and have all the riches. Now, listen, I can't preach that hard and long enough. There's so many people in this world that are trying to attain the greatness of this world. They want the finest houses. They want the finest cars. They want all this fine stuff. Amen. I just want the blessings of God. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I've never one time had to beg somebody for something to eat. You can look at me and tell. I've eaten pretty good. Amen. I didn't have supper tonight, but I'm going to have it before I get home. Amen. Lord willing, if I make it. But I want you to understand that the riches was of the devil. And it still is. It's still of the devil. He's behind all that. The prosperity, the gain. Listen, and those mega churches that have all these millions and thousands or whatever people that follow these preachers, and they're all enthralled with this great man. There was one individual in the charismatic movement, and I think I told you about this. What time is it? Oh, I got time. I think I told you about this. There was a charismatic movement that went on, and there's this one individual, he's an evangelist, and thousands, literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of people followed this guy. They was doing all kinds of stupid stuff, you know, that we don't believe the Bible teaches, and speaking in tongues and barking like dogs and howling at the moon and all that kind of stuff, unless you're intoxicated on alcohol or some other drug. But anyway, they was doing all this crazy stuff, charismatic movement. And those hundreds of thousands of people following this guy for months, they followed him. This was the Charismatic Revival. Go on charismatic.com, look it up, you'll find it. I forget the guy's name, but there was all these people that followed him. And they was, I'm talking hundreds and thousands, probably even up into the millions of dollars donated to that ministry. Because this man had supposedly all this power and people were being healed and slain in the spirit and all that. When it was all said and done, it was all of naught because he said, he testified that he is cheating on his wife in every town, literally, that he went in, he cheated on his wife with somebody. And it was all for personal gain. How wicked is that? That's of the devil. But people were so gullible, they followed that. And they fell into that snare, into that trap. The Bible teaches us, neither give place to the devil. Amen. Don't give him place in your finances. That's good preaching right there. Amen. Don't give him place in your finances and don't get your focus set on the things of this world. The Bible says, set your affections on the things above. Amen. The things that are above. Set your treasures. Your affections are to be set on the things in heaven, not on this earth. Amen. It's not about the riches. I know we have to have money to live. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the fancy stuff and all the prosperity and the riches. I'm not for that because that's of the devil. Amen. Got that off my chest to feel a little better. Now let me show you this real quick. I'm going to try to hurry. In Ezekiel chapter 28, there we see the Lord is speaking, the Lord God is speaking. Ezekiel chapter 28, I done messed my place up here. Hold on, give me a second. Flip back over here. We noticed in the first part of Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 6, go with me there, verse number 6, Ezekiel 28. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, watch this. Behold, therefore will I bring strangers upon thee and the terrible of the nations. Now that word terrible as we know it is not the same. Terrible to us is something that's bad. That's not what this is talking about, powerful. This is something that's strong. The strength of the nations, of the power of the nations. They will draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. You see that? Are you with me? Is everybody with me? All right, flip in your Bibles at Revelation chapter 19. Hold your place there. Hold your place there and go to Revelation chapter 19. All right, in Ezekiel chapter 28, the Word of God says, I will bring strangers upon thee, and the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. Thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the sea. All right, you see that? Watch this. Revelation chapter 19. The Bible says in verse 11, Revelation 19, I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Y'all know who those armies are. That's the saved, amen, born again children of God. The armies of heaven followed him in white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, bond free, or both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, with them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning fire with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of the mouth, or out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. There's going to be a day, hallelujah, when we're going to return with the Lord himself, part of the armies of God. We're going to come back and we're going to help slay, hallelujah, and kick the devil off into hell. And the archangel and the Antichrist, and all, not the archangel, but the Antichrist, and the Satan, the Lucifer himself, we're going to be here whenever that moment comes. Now, as we understand that we are the saved people of God, and that there's something to look forward to, amen, in the future events. Listen, the devil gives us a hard enough time as it is. Amen? He gives us a hard enough time as it is, but there is coming a day, whenever God's going to kick him off into hell. He's going to destroy him forever and forever. We're going to be a part of that, amen? We're going to be there. Whoop, goes right there. We're going to be a part of that, and we're going to come back with him, and we're going to be a part whenever the Antichrist and Satan, all that's destroyed. Now, the nations are coming to destroy, and that is the saved, the people of God. Let me look at my notes. I've had so many things going through my mind, so many different directions I wanted to go. I want you to see the contrast, first of all, between the two passages of Scripture, between Isaiah and Ezekiel, and understanding with me tonight where Lucifer came from, where the devil came from. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates pride. Amen. He hates pride and wickedness. And all these things that is mentioned in the book of Proverbs, and we see that that is a sin that God hates, and God will deal with that sin. Amen. God will deal with it. And as far as Satan is concerned, as far as the Antichrist is concerned, and all those that are against God, filled with pride and their wicked hearts and their wicked ways, God will deal with that. Amen. They will be brought down to the verse number 15 and 16 in chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah. If you look there real quickly, and I'm trying to hurry, I'm trying to cut this off. If you've looked there, you see that they shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That is at the great white throne judgment. They're going to be called. And listen, all those that have rejected Christ will be called before him. They'll have to stand there and give they're going to have to give an account. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. So is Satan and all of his workers and demons and all that stuff. I want you to understand tonight this. This is what I want you to get. Satan is real. Satan has power. He has power that a lot of people give into. Now hold on, stay with me. He has power that a lot of people give into. I said this on Sunday, and I meant what I said, and I'm going to say it again. To the child of God, the only power the devil has is what we allow him to have. The Bible teaches us, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Doesn't mean he won't come back. He'll come back and he'll tempt you and try you again. Amen. He keeps doing it. He keeps coming back. He keeps trying to aggravate you, to get you to fall, to get you to mess up, to get your focus off, to dim your view. He keeps coming back. Every time he comes back, you stay on your knees and stay before God. You submit yourself to God and resist him. Amen. The only power he has to the children of God is the power we allow him to have. And a lot of times that's easily done, those things that dangle before us. He uses several devices. He uses the finances, the richness of the world, the beauty, the fancy stuff. Tries to attract our attention and get us focused on that. And sometimes people get themselves in such a mess, listen, they lose their focus on God. Amen? He's totally 100% against God. And anything that's for God, he's against it, and he'd do everything in his power to try to stop it or destroy it. And guess who's his number one target? The people of God. We're his number one target. The Bible teaches us in the book of 2 Peter, he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking. He's looking for someone to devour. Even tonight, he's looking for someone that's let their guard down, someone that's not prayed as they should, or someone's not gotten close to God as they should. And listen, he's seeking to devour them. I'm going to quit. Man, there's so much more I want to say. We'll try to come back and hit this again. I hope that you got something from this tonight, understanding the power that is, of course, against God, the demonic power. The Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. We fight a lot of battles, and a lot of that is brought on ourselves. But then we fight against the devil and those powers. But those powers, listen, those powers are destroyed in Jesus Christ. Christ himself destroyed the devil, took away the keys. He has not the power. Amen. He has not power. When it comes through our soul, he cannot get it. He cannot get our soul. Whenever it comes to Job, and you know the account there in the Bible where God was talking to Satan and he says, "Have you tried my servant Job?" And the devil brings all these accusations. Well, if you took this and this and this away from him, then he'd turn, he'd cuss you. And God says, "Well, let's see about that." And the whole story of Job and the whole account of Job is not about the greatness of Job, but it's about the glory of God and how God delivered him through every one of those attempts and attacks of the devil. Amen. Just give glory to God. Keep your focus on him and know that there is coming a day when he will be destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. He will be destroyed. I hope that you got something from this tonight. I know I'm scattered and I apologize for that. But I was so taken back with all the different things that I saw in those scriptures, the riches, the prosperity. That's the way the world is trying to lead us, to get involved with all that. And Donald Trump, I don't know if he'll make a president or not, but he's made the comment, he don't need the money. Is he the next Antichrist or is he the Antichrist? I don't have no idea. I wouldn't dare put that label on him. I don't know the man that well. And like I said, I'm not going to be here anyway, so I don't really care. But he's rich, and he says, I don't need the money. There's other men like that are rich, and they don't need the money. And listen, the riches is as I said, it's okay to have money as long as money don't have us. And those riches and that prosperity is of the devil. So be careful, all right? Be careful when you go to looking at stuff and following people and see all this stuff going on. Say, oh, that's got to be of God. No, it don't either. It can be of the devil. He's getting people left and right and drawing them into his snare and into his trap. So let's keep our guard up, amen? And I hope this has been a help to you. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you.